Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 12:05, which means this hour we are giving away tickets to see the Nationals taking on the best team in the NL, the Dodgers. Upcoming homestand later this month. If you want those tickets, you've got to be listening at 12:45. Kurt Suzuki, Nats catcher, on the show at 1 today. Live from Atlanta, where the Nats will look to win a second game and two nights tonight against the Braves right here on The Fan. The great tandem of Charlie Sloz and Dave Jagler will bring you the broadcasts. Pre-game, 6:50. First pitch, 7:20. They build in those extra 15 or so minutes in Atlanta for the terrible traffic to get to the ballpark.
Because you got
to
get out to the burbs. It's not downtown anymore.
Time for your Beltway Blitz. Let's kick it off on the gridiron. Chris Russell to get us started. Chris, we talked earlier in the show about the chances of Dwayne Haskins becoming the offensive rookie of the year in the National Football League. Kyler Murray's got better odds. That's it, according to Bet Online. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dwayne Haskins, first of all, is going to be the better quarterback. I don't know if he'll be the better quarterback in 2019 because Kyler Murray, we know this, is going to start from week one. He's with an awful team. He still does have Larry Fitzgerald. They've tried to give him some more weapons. He's with a very, very offensive, friendly, new age type coach who's going to, you know, throw 70% of the time. He's probably going to get a lot of hard hits and a lot of shots, but he's going to make a lot of intermediate and deep throws, and he's going to light up the scoreboard, and he's going to constantly be on the highlights. I think Kyler Murray will be the better rookie. I think he'll play more. I think Dwayne Haskins will be long-term the better quarterback.
Chris, I don't know if you're going to send Trent Williams a happy birthday text or Facebook message, but if we don't see him at the beginning of training camp, who will we see over at that left tackle position?
I don't think the big fella will be there. I'd be surprised. I don't know that, so I want to be clear. I'd be surprised if he's there. And what other option do you have for day one other than Eric Flowers, Pete? Because Jaron Christian has not practiced at all in the offseason program. He might even open up on the preseason pup list, which, again, doesn't mean anything more than it's just procedural and he can't practice while he works his way into football shape. But that's just the problem. He's got to get into football shape because they spent a pretty high value pick on him and they expected him to be a contributor this year as the backup swing tackle.
There's a lot made about the Redskins wide receiver position. Is it as bad as we think it is?
I don't think it is. Well, you know, when I asked Jay about that, that spurned the, Jay busted my chops about saying something positive about his football team. I actually think it's better than people think it is. I don't want to say
wait
it's
a second,
good,
man. You said something kind about our team, man. I got to see that somewhere, man.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it's great, but I think it's above average. And of course it depends. Listen, if Paul Richardson can actually stay on a football field, you know, like that would be like really nice for once in his career, actually for the second time in his career, because the one time he did it he had a great year and he got himself a five-year $40 million offer to be DeSean Jackson light. Here's what I know. If he can stay on the field, he's not just a deep ball threat up the sidelines on go and vertical routes. He is a guy who can cross the middle. He is a guy who can climb the ladder and catch those 50-50 balls, whether it be in the red zone or whether it be on intermediate digs and that and crossers and that type of stuff. That guy is the linchpin to what they do on offense, in my opinion, whether they're a pedestrian, run the ball, grind out 17 points per game offense, or whether they're 23, 24 points per game type offense.
Chris, thank you. Enjoy Richmond next week.
Thank you, fellas.
Time now to talk baseball. Craig Heist joins us. Craig, when you last saw the Nationals in the flesh, it was not good. Last night, though, tremendous bounce back, very professional effort. Your thoughts on the bounce back last night to set the tone of this series in Atlanta against the Braves?
Well, lots of offense. That's the biggest thing. Steven Strasburg with a record-type night, and he did a pretty good job on the mound, probably without his best stuff. So all in all, I say it's a win-win, and they get that four-game series off on the kind of start that they wanted, and all of a sudden you look up, and it's a five-and-a-half-game deficit and four in the loss column, and that's the important part of it. And we'll see what the rest of the weekend brings, but it's off to a good start.
Heisty, 16 hits and 13 runs. Obviously, Stras did the heavy lifting, but minimal sleep for this team. Now they're just 5.5 back. It's got fans dreaming a little bit about what this series could hold.
Well, it does, and with good reason. I mean, you think about what this team has done over the last 2 months, and they had the hiccup in Baltimore the other night, but then bounced back with a big offensive effort. And, you look at who's starting the rest of the week and whether or not you're going to get Voth or Scherzer on Sunday, that's still left to be determined. But, the big thing about this for me is if the Nationals can win another game in this, you might not be as hard-pressed to push Scherzer into Sunday start and maybe give him another day of not being able to pitch. And but again, if you're Davey Martinez, and I ask him this in Baltimore, if he has to push him back again, what's the real concern? And I know you guys were talking about this earlier. What's the real concern about his condition going forward? And I will have to wait and see how that plays out. Now, he didn't throw a bullpen yesterday. He did ramp up again from 90 feet on the long toss. But we'll see whether or not he throws a bullpen today later. And if he does that, it probably looks good for Sunday. If he doesn't, they're probably going to have to push him back again.
Craig, first pothole for the Wild and the Braves may be coming here in the fact they had to start Kyle Wright last night. We could see Wilson later in this series because Max Fried, who's been pretty good for them so far this year, the lefty is out with a blister for an undetermined period of time. Perfect timing for the Nats here to take advantage of this because, really, the Braves have not had a pothole like this in a while during the same run that they've been on while the Nats were hot.
Well, that's true, Pete, and keep in mind now with that loss last night, they've dropped three in a row because they lost the last two in Milwaukee. So, their pitching has been a little bit of an issue at times this year, especially the bullpen end of it. This is a perfect time for the Nationals to take advantage, and I don't see any reason why they can't go in there and win three out of four, having taken that first one and kind of setting the tone. Going into this thing, I was hoping for a split, and if you could take three out of four, you could gain two games in the standings. But last night's win gives you a lot of hope for the rest of this weekend.
Heisty, thank you as always.
All right, talk to you later.
Enjoy your weekend, pal. That is your Beltway Blitz. Just saw on Twitter from the U.S. News, this is kind of weird, Louisiana is sinking. Since 1989, New Orleans has dropped nearly 6 inches, the most of any city measured. Sure, that's good.
You keep getting pummeled by water, and all that does is have runoff back out into the Gulf of Mexico. So all that sand and land keeps sinking further and further because you're losing more out into the Gulf of Mexico every time they get pummeled by one of these storms.
Fingers crossed for Brennan's, the most delicious restaurant in the country, and our buddy Christian, and the turtles in the courtyard at Brennan's. I don't want them sinking any further than they already have.
I think they'll be fine.
You think so? 6 inches they've lost now since I was born. The city has lost 6 inches. I don't even know really what that means. The most of any city measured. But next, you just heard Craig Heist talking about Max Scherzer. Maybe he's not going to pitch on Sunday now. I've been saying I'm a little bit worried about this. Can we start to say that maybe we should be yet? Or are we still going to pretend like everything's hunky-dory, even though maybe he won't pitch this weekend now? Grant and Danny on the Fan next. Yesterday, Max Scherzer threw again, as he's trying to ramp up his recovery of some type of back issue that the Nationals are downplaying and saying isn't a big deal, as is Scherzer. I actually spoke to him about it at the All-Star break. But here's where we are now. And I keep laying out this timeline, and people might be tired of hearing it reiterated, but it's getting more important, I would say. When we originally heard something was wrong, Max was pushed back from starting the first game out of the All-Star break to instead he would start the Sunday game in Philadelphia. Then he wasn't going to pitch the Sunday game in Philly, but they were going to push him back to the Tuesday game in Baltimore. Then he wasn't going to pitch the Tuesday game in Baltimore, and it was likely he was going to throw the Saturday game in Atlanta tomorrow. Then he wasn't going to go throw Saturday because when they talked about his next start, they were using the word Sunday. So the thought was, okay, we'll close down the series on Sunday. And now that's up in the air. Yesterday, Davey Martinez saying, well, he still hasn't been able to throw the bullpen. You saw the video like I did. It looked like he was writhing in pain, might be strong, but maybe some
acknowledging
type of
discomfort. Exactly. I will go that route and say he definitely acknowledged some discomfort when he was trying to cut it loose from that far away.
I am worried and concerned, as I've said, about this lingering a little bit. Now, I don't think this is going to cost him a month, although we're already past a week. I don't think this is going to cost him the majority of the rest of the season. I'm not trying to hit a panic button in that regard. But either something is amiss or something isn't. He's not pitching for a reason. He's not throwing a bullpen session for a reason. He's been pushed back now from Sunday to Tuesday, from Tuesday to Saturday, from Saturday to Sunday, and maybe from Sunday again, like four times for a reason. And we keep hearing, well, this is all precautionary. This is not really a deal. But then we hear, well, he's got to feel 100%. Okay, so if he's not 100%, if he's 90 or 95, that's not that big of an issue. There's a lot of guys that are 90 or 95, but they're not getting pushed back a bunch. Is he 75%? That's scary if he's 75%. Mike Rizzo said on the Junkies, remember, that if this was an end-of-the-season game to get into the playoffs or something like that, Scherzer would be on the mound right now, but they don't want to risk him injuring it further, which tells me, Pete, that we should be acknowledging that something in that back is actually problematic.
At the same said All-Star game you were at, Clayton Kershaw said to Max Scherzer, hey, dude, don't push this, because Kershaw went through the same thing in 2017, and there was timetable that thought he might miss as much as 4 to 6 weeks during that time when he had that back strain. So I'm not certainly saying it's anything public. Now, I think what's good is we're still seeing Max try to throw from the long distances and things of that nature. If they were to totally shut him down, that's ultimate panic mode at that point when your ace would be totally shut down. The fact that they are still letting him, that Paul Lasart and those guys are still letting him do these types of things and throw, then they feel he has to be as close as Davey and Mike Rizzo are indicating that he could be, that there's not a total need to shut him down right now. The fact that they're still letting him do some things. If it was a total shutdown, then yes, absolute panic mode at this point.
Close to a total shutdown, though. I mean, he has not pitched, and he's not throwing bullpen sessions, meaning, you know, your max effort, out on the mound, game scenario. He hadn't done that yet. Now, if he does that tonight and he comes out of it okay, and we find out that he's ready to go on Sunday, cool. It'll be the last time we talk about this until something else rears its head if that happens. But I'm not banking on that after what I saw yesterday. I don't expect him to throw a bullpen today. In fact, if I had to bet right now, I would say he wouldn't pitch on Sunday, and we'll have gone a full week since the All-Star break and 2 full weeks since he last pitched without him throwing. And time just passes, and it doesn't seem like we ever get answers or anybody's asking questions that get the answers, and we just go, oh, well, we're going to see, we're going to see. I mean, don't get me wrong. The reporters are asking Davey Martinez, what's going on with Max? And he just kind of says what he needs to say to wait 24 more hours. But we don't actually ever get any intel. And the Nats, for a long time, have been pretty secretive with injuries. But this is a 34-year-old guy. You say 34 and back in the same sentence, I take notice. And it matters so much because as of the time of this injury, he might have been the Cy Young Award winner in the National League. It's him or Hyunjin Ryu. Last seven starts, 7-0 with a 0.87 ERA, 52 innings and only 29 hits. 79 strikeouts. He's in the best stretch of his career. Every outing right now for him is massive because the Nats have no margin for error and need to win every game. I guess the way to pose this maybe is just to ask if you guys have any level of concern or if you are in the same mode as the Nationals where you're pretty comfortable just saying, you know what, this is going to be okay. It's a start. He's missing. We've pushed him back. He's only missed one trip through the rotation, and that's true. But it'll become two pretty quickly if he can't throw on Sunday. We can open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067.
If I think it's going to cost me any time, and I said this the other day when we talked about it, if it's going to cost me any time in August and September with him, then I'm definitely not pushing the envelope, regardless of who you're playing right now in this series. Because if you if you pitch him this weekend and it costs you his availability through August and September by perhaps doing more damage, then that's foolish, because whatever work you're doing now gets ruined by not having him to finish the job in August and September.
You're 100% right, and I think that that is good common sports sense. However, that acknowledges that there's more of an issue than they are pretending like there is my point. The discussion, the dialogue, the narrative is, there's really not anything to worry about here. We're just kind of being very careful. Even yesterday when I saw, and I know you texted me, you saw that same thing I did with the grimacing. It does not look like nothing. It looks like a guy who's feeling.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Something in his back as he's throwing several days after he was supposed to have pitched in a game. And, you know, I would give the benefit of the doubt, I think, if there was a history here, recently or otherwise, where there is just a true transparency, or when something is said on injuries for the Nationals, it was gospel. Like, hey, then you know what? The Nats are just, they said he'll be back in 2 weeks. They'll be back in 2 weeks. It's not that. In fact, it's the opposite of that. And I'm not trying to kill the team, but I give them a lot of credit in areas where it's deserved. I think they've come a long way in terms of analytics. I think they are tremendous at scouting. I think they have drafted really well over the years. They are one of the better-run organizations in baseball, and I will commend them on that for a long, long time. They've gotten bites at the apple, one of the best records in baseball over the last several years because of how they're run from the ground up. They've got a good front office. One thing that I have for a long time been frustrated by, and you could say it's transparency, not the actual handling of injuries or the evaluations of injuries, because we're in the dark and we don't really know what's going on, but it's the injury angle with them. It's been a problem for a while with this team, in my opinion, that we think one thing when actually something else is going on behind the scenes. And you could just say, well, it's not our job to tell you guys if you're the Nationals. And you're probably right, but it doesn't make the team look good, and it makes it hard to trust what they say sometimes with things like Max Scherzer dealing with something as important as a back that's now keeping him out of the rotation, perhaps in the biggest series of your season over 4 days. 800-636-1067. Are you at all concerned? Are you nervous? Is your confidence that this is nothing growing at all as time goes on here? Or do you expect to see Max throw seven scoreless on Sunday against Atlanta? With Pete, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. In a half hour at 1 o'clock, Nats catcher Kurt Suzuki, who's a tremendous interview and a lot of fun to have on the show, will be live with us right here on your flagship home for Nats baseball. They're within 5.5 in the NL East. They would host the wild card play-in game if it were participated in tonight. That's because they've won 32 of their last 45 games. They've been unbelievable. Big guy in the middle of that has been the right arm, the right-hander, Max Scherzer. Scherzer's not pitching right now. Supposed to maybe pitch on Sunday. Here's the question for you guys on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. We heard he was going to pitch last Sunday, then it became Tuesday, then it became Saturday, then it became Sunday. Now we don't even know if he'll go on Sunday or not. Is it time to be a little bit concerned? Are you buying that everything is hunky-dory and okay, or are you worried? Tom's in Manassas. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. I am not pushing the panic button, but my hand is on the panic button. I feel like I've heard this song and dance a lot before, and then little things tend to turn into big things. With the trade deadline looming, I'm assuming, I trust Mike Rizzo could look into picking up another starter, but I'm scared. Back issues are no joke.
And that's the thing to me, is the word back is frightening for a pitcher, period. Everything comes from, everything's affected by your back as a pitcher. Your arm, your legs, the base, everything that you do with your velocity, if you're Max Scherzer, nothing's not affected by your back. You add to that that he's 34 years old and he's got a back problem, and that sometimes can linger a little longer, be harder to come back from. I was talking to a major league pitcher last night about this. I said, what's your take on what's going on? They said, well, I'm a little bit surprised if you've got like a, what was the word they used? Like a twinge or, I don't remember exactly what they said, but if you've got a like a little feeling
usually
in your back.
Usually twinge is what we see described the most.
They said with the treatment and the stuff that we have, normally you can kind of basically beat that out of your body within a few days. They said, I'm surprised it's lingering like it is. He said, they must just be being really, really careful with Max right now, which I would buy if I didn't see yesterday. And I'm not a doctor, and I shouldn't try to play one. But to me, if you guys saw the video that Masson showed of his throwing session, he was talking with the trainers, and a couple times he was kind of grimacing, might be a little bit strong, but he was kind of tilting his head.
He was reacting to something.
Right.
But
he didn't feel
also,
good.
Look, if you take Mike at his word, and we have no reason not to, Mike said if it's a game in September where there's a game out and there's a game on the line, he wouldn't be able to keep Max Scherzer off the field. Mike said he had to be the adult in the room, and I'll go back to the Steven Strasburg shutdown. Mike was the adult in the room at that point that had to make that decision, and maybe this is Mike just being careful to make sure that he has his big hoss for the long haul as opposed to risking not having him by pitching him in the short haul, because I believe if it came down to the pitcher himself, as we know how competitive Max is, Max would take the ball and try to go as far as he possibly could, no matter how much icy hot he might have to rub on his back during the course or take ibuprofen before a start to try and make his way through that pain and to pitch through that start. If it was September, yes, it would be one thing, but it is still July 19th.
I think Rizzo's a straight shooter, and I think most of the time, when you're talking baseball specifically, he's gonna tell you what he thinks. But when it comes to injuries, you say we have no reason not to, and it's not him that I'm doubting. As an organization, we have plenty of reason. I completely disagree with you. They're not going to tell you what's going on. They never have.
But do they have to?
No.
There's no obligation.
They don't have to. But that's not what you just said. You said we have no reason not to take him at his word. I would disagree. I think we have Anthony Rendon at a spring training. I think we have Ryan Zimmerman a couple of times over. There are a lot of injuries where I was told, hey, fat radio guy, calm down. They're going to be back in a week. And then they're on the injured list for 4 weeks.
But you're not fat radio guy thanks to EMP-180 anymore.
Hey, slightly less fat, but still kind of fat radio guy. Don't worry about it. He's going to make a start in a couple weeks, and then he doesn't. I'm not saying he's lying. He's doing what I would do.
Well, he says the MRIs right now are clean. The MRIs really aren't telling them anything. So if the MRI isn't really telling them anything, it becomes down to a muscular deal and a pain threshold for the player and a satisfaction of the manager, the GM,
right,
that the player's not going to do further damage. And I think that's their fear. Their fear right now is if he does take the ball, and he probably could take the ball and give you six innings, but could he do further damage to what's happening there? And what's the risk of doing further damage? And I think that's what they're afraid of, even though they're not coming out and telling you that.
I'm not alleging anything nefarious. I don't think there's some big conspiracy. I'm not saying that they are, that they have any information even that they're not divulging. What I'm saying is, just because we're being told this is not an issue and he would start if it was a must-have game. Well, first, I would tell you it is a must-have game, number one. But I understand the logic of saying an actual must-have game as opposed to one on July 21st or whatever. But I can't just sit here with my hands under my butt, you know, and sit on my hands and go, you know what? If they're saying it's fine, it's fine. Like to me, I've got to do a little bit more thinking on my own here.
Maybe you can get, I mean, you were in the office with him. Maybe you can get Mike to invite you to the next MRI.
That would be
nice. Let you put him up on the light and take a look at him. You can analyze him yourself.
Well, what good would that do me?
I'm just saying. I mean, that's really what we're digging for here. We're just digging to see if there's more. And if they say the MRIs aren't telling them anything, that's got to be frustrating to them, because if the MRI showed them something, then they could concretely point to saying, hey,
but
there's a disc
point.
Issue.
We
there's
wouldn't
a, you
know it if the MRIs were telling them anything.
They might tell you something.
Well, that would be the first
they might
time
tell you
in
something.
A bunch
if there
of years.
Was MRI, if there was a legitimate MRI issue that was going to keep you from seeing him for a while, I think they would tell you that.
I don't really know where you get that from.
I think they would tell you
they that. They have not done that for a lot of injuries over the years.
But they don't have anything to tell you. That's the problem. They can't
Ever?
Just point to it. I can't talk for previous instances, but at least in this one, they're saying there's nothing there. They've said the MRIs come back clean, or at least that's what Davey has said in his press conferences. And I'm sure that's the frustrating part to them as organizational standpoint.
I get what you're saying, but either you disagree with me or you're not acknowledging that there have been many times
there
in the
been,
past
sure, there
where
been
they
times
said
the past,
one thing that wasn't correct.
Right now, I don't know what they could tell you right now, though. Because what they're telling us is the MRI shows nothing.
Pete, you keep saying that. I don't need them to tell me anything right now. What I'm saying is you're saying take them at their word, and I'm saying I don't need to take them at their word. I need to have some concern. If I took them at their word—
Concern is fine because I'm sure they're concerned.
Okay, then we agree. If I took them at their word, he was pitching on Tuesday in Baltimore. I bought a ticket to go watch him pitch in Baltimore. I watched Austin Voth. If I took them at their word, he was pitching Saturday against the Braves. He's no longer doing that. If I took them at their word, he was pitching on Sunday. He's probably not going to do that now. Let's go to Frank and Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Happy afternoon. Glad you're staying cool.
Thank you.
I've been listening to the conversation, and the previous caller brought it up, but I'm just curious. You know, it sort of feels like NFL stuff where they keep everything sort of under the vest because they don't want to, you know, tip their hat. But I'm wondering to what extent the trade deadline does impact anything that they would say. You know, you don't want to be too obvious. You know, when you're not going to get rid of Scherzer, but if you're trying to get somebody else, which I wish was Madison Bumgarner,
it's a good point.
How much are you tipping your hand if you really disclose a lot?
That's a good point. Thanks for the call. I think it's a really smart call. 800-636-1067. Hadn't considered that. Could be a factor. And again, I'd like to reiterate, I don't think the team's doing anything wrong. In fact, in all of these cases, when I say we didn't know what was up or we were misled or we didn't have the right information, it's not the team's job to tell us plurally, rurally, as the media, royally. They didn't do anything wrong. Mike Shanahan used to lie at the podium all the time. People would get so upset. He would say one thing to me at the podium, oftentimes make me look like an idiot, and then as soon as the press conference would end, I would see him in the hallway. He'd be like, oh, by the way, you were right about that. Thanks for letting me know now. The cameras aren't on. Obviously, I can't go public with that. But so my point is, it's not
but
their job to come
But at that point, though,
out.
You would be able to at least craft your opinion on the air around some information
Absolutely.
Of concrete nature.
One of the reasons I really like Shanahan, because he was very honest, at least at times, behind the scenes. But the bigger point is, they don't owe us the actual explanation. What I am saying is, if you're a Nats fan, you don't also have to just say whatever the team's word is at any given moment is exactly how it's going to work out, because you're probably right. They probably don't know right now. They don't know if he's going to throw this afternoon. They don't know how his body's going to respond.
Instead of hunting for a reliever, you might have to start hunting for a Matthew Boyd, a starter, instead of a reliever, where reliever probably was the highest priority. If there is an issue here that they don't want to tell you about, maybe a starting pitcher is now a higher priority. You never know.
Max Scherzer's the best we got in D.C. with Alex Ovechkin. They don't come any better than the righty who's touching 97 in every start and is absolutely unhittable. Alongside Pete Medhurst, I'm Grant Paulson. He right now is not feeling very good. He's not healthy. The back is hurting him. We don't know exactly what's going on. Are you concerned, or is this a molehill that we are turning into a mountain on the Fan? One of my favorite games to play, Little Deal or Big Deal. 800-636-1067. Max Scherzer's minor, we're being told, back issue that's keeping him from pitching right now. There's still some hope he could go on Sunday. And look, if he pitches Sunday against the Braves and he looks like himself, then we'll come out on Monday and we'll discuss the fact that this was much ado about nothing. But in the meantime, I think it's fair game to say, should we be concerned? Is there something at play here that could end up lingering? This is, to me, a storyline for the rest of their season. How great can he be? The fact that they've gotten back into the playoffs as of right now and have a shot in the division is not quite solely because, but led by the fact that they've had the number one pitching staff in the sport since June 1. 800-636-1067 is the number. By the way, Kurt Suzuki, Nats catcher, on the show in 13 minutes at 1 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. Jay's in Manassas. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Grant and Pete, how are you?
Great. Yourself?
So, I'm all right. So, first, to just answer the question that you asked, I'm also hovering over the panic button, but only because I don't believe the team knows exactly the injury status of Max. The MRI came back clean. It's just a feeling or a twinge or something like that. So I'm going to have to side with Pete in saying that I don't think the Nationals are necessarily lying to us. There's 162 games. It's not like football where one injury, you know, somebody can target a leg if they know that a knee is injured or something like that. I think, though, that this is pervasive across baseball because pitching is such an exact science. Like, every part of your body has to be working in concert in order to be an effective pitcher or hitter, for that matter, but more pitching. How long does it take for a pitcher to get ready for spring training, you know, from spring training for the regular season versus a hitter? Or, you know, so I don't think it's so much that the Nats are deceiving us. I think it is more that they don't know, and they keep trying to set a timeline even for Max to target, and it keeps getting moved back because of his grimacing or the twinges that he feels.
Yeah, I think that's all true. That's essentially, I think, what I said for several minutes last segment. I'm not saying there's anything nefarious. What I am saying is I'm being told not to worry, and I'm just not going to worry. Sorry. I'm going to worry. You've told me a lot of times, don't worry. I didn't worry. And then I ended up being foolish for not worrying. I'm going to worry this time until I find out I'm worrying about nothing. I shouldn't have to. Shouldn't have been worrying. It was just a minor thing. By the way, it's not like he hasn't already missed some time. He should be pitching for the second time since the break already, and he hasn't pitched once. Jeff in D.C., how's it going?
Grant, I think you should stop worrying, my friend. You know, this is an injury that you don't want to cause other problems. You've been very focused this whole segment on his back. What's his back, and what's the MRI saying? What are they saying about his back?
Yeah, his back affects a bunch of other parts of his body, though.
Right. It's not just that. But let's say, you know, I used to play basketball. I hurt my knee. You go out, you can still play on the knee, but then other things start hurting. You know, the right hip flexor hurts, and you get shin splints. You get all kinds of things that develop because, yeah, he could still go out there and pitch, but now because he's favoring something or not favoring something or throwing his mechanics off, he's now injuring other things, and then you have something to worry about.
Okay, it sounds like you're telling me not to worry, and then you're telling me how terrible this could end up being.
Right. Don't worry.
So what am I not worrying for? My $200 million arm that's going to pitch me into the playoffs might actually have a major issue? What am I missing?
Okay, you're missing that the MRI is clean, and he's out there throwing on flat ground. Okay, so that tells you that it's not a serious injury. Now, you're worried because, I think you're worried, because you think that they're not telling you something or that this is a bigger injury than it really is. But I'm saying don't worry.
I'm saying they might not know yet. Many times they haven't known. Anthony Rendon's foot is just sore. Nope, it's actually broken. Whoops, sorry. Anthony Rendon's knee is just sore. Nope, he's not coming back till the All-Star break. Sorry. Ryan Zimmerman's foot is in pain. Whoop, it's actually plantar fasciitis. Sorry. I mean, we could go through a list of these. I'm saying there's not enough in the bank for me to sit here and just pretend like I'm sure they'll get this one right and he'll be back in a couple of days. It's not that they're not telling me anything. They may not know yet. His body just may respond differently than we are predicting. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they need him on the field, and if he's not on the field, it's a big, 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 big problem, and everyone's just pretending like he's about to be back. Also, a lot of this is about expectations. If he came out at the All-Star break, or they came out at the All-Star break, and they said, Max Scherzer's not going to pitch until July 25th. We're going to skip him through the rotation twice. He's taking 2 weeks off. He's got a twinge in his back. He feels it when he throws. We're going to shut him down for 2 weeks. And he's going to throw again on this date. He's going to be perfectly fine. This is all precautionary. Here's the plan. We wouldn't be talking about this right now. But they said, oh, he'll pitch on the Sunday after the break when we come back. Don't worry. Well, he didn't. He'll pitch on Tuesday in Baltimore. Don't worry. He didn't. He'll pitch on Saturday in Atlanta. Actually, it's now Sunday. Actually, maybe he won't pitch Sunday. When you just keep dangling the carrot, and then the carrot gets pulled in front. Okay, we either care or we don't care that he keeps supposedly supposed to pitch and then doesn't pitch. Do we care or we don't care? This isn't Austin Voth. This ain't reality TV. This ain't Kyle McGowan. It's Max Scherzer. If he sneezes, I want to know about it. If he's constipated for 2 days, I want to know that everything's okay in that stomach. It's Max Scherzer. It's my guy. Carol. Kensington.
Hey, Grant.
This ain't Joe Ross. This ain't reality TV.
What's up, Carol?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's Carol Maloney. So I was in Philly last
this
weekend.
This is Carol
and had a couple
Maloney?
Yeah, no, I just called the regular number.
Did you tell him you were Carol Maloney?
Nope.
Oh, Carol, I can't have that. Carol, I can't have that.
He goes, what do you want to talk about? I go, I want to talk about my conversation with Scherzer last weekend in Philly.
Yeah, as the sideline reporter for the Nationals, Carol. Carol on Masson, beautiful Carol Maloney, talented Carol Maloney. Never do that again. I'm texting you the hotline. And
no,
if you do call in, I need you to tell Alex Sloes that you're Carol freaking Maloney.
It looks like Julia Roberts, by the way.
We got to see each other on the team bus last week. It was
yes,
nice to see you in person. I have a lot of regurgitating what your caller just said, because when I first called, I just wanted to make the point, because you were saying that you thought they were, you know, changing the story. And yes, now they didn't know the story. I had two conversations with Max on Friday. The first one was the first time he told anyone, and we were off camera when I asked him, can I ask you about your Sunday start? And he was like, he grimaced, and he's like, oh, I don't know if I'm, what do you know, Max? And he's like, then he's always been so honest about his injuries, right? And he's been durable. How many times has he been on the DL? Twice, right? 2017, he pitched through a broken knuckle, and he pitched through that, including like a last month of regular season, and into
and a broken nose this season. He's tough.
And the broken nose. So I even asked him that question, how do we not panic when you've already been pitching through so much? And he laughed, and he knocked on wood, and he said, it's a muscle issue that's clean. I know what I have to do to get ready to get on that mound and toe that rubber. But he literally physically knocked on wood because he doesn't know. So they are taking it day by day. So that's what they're saying. And that's just my point to you, is that, yes, it'd be foolish not to panic because it's Max Scherzer who's durable and pitches through stuff.
Right.
But Doolittle said to me, first of all, he has the luxury of time because they have three aces right now. Anibal is an ace right now. So he doesn't feel like he had to rush back. And he has to be able to go through his preparation to get, like, after the All-Star break, he didn't have time to make sure he could do the bullpen session like he wanted to before that first Sunday start.
All
then they made it Tuesday.
All Carol Maloney's doing is saying things that make sense.
I want to tell you, the team never said he was going to pitch Saturday or Sunday versus Atlanta. We said that's the earliest he could come back after they retroactive his IL stint.
That's fair, but that was based on the things that you guys were hearing and like it being said on the press conference. Like, you didn't come up with those dates on your own.
No, we just came up on the date because a 10-day stint on the IL. That's when the 10-day over.
Right.
That's
exactly
the only reason why we said that date, and we were kind of thinking, hey, wait, this could work out, because now he's going to pitch with, when first it was against the Orioles, we thought Tuesday night versus the Orioles, we thought, hey, the way it lines up now, he's going to get a start against the Dodgers. This is going to work out for us, because before, we didn't think he would. If he was Sunday in Philly, the way it starts would line up, he wouldn't have been able to go against the Dodgers. And then it was Tuesday again. So we don't know. He doesn't know. That's why I'm calling.
Carol, I love it. Well, I appreciate the call. And again, when you call in, you need to say you're Carol Maloney. You don't stand in line to get into the club with me and Pete. You walk to the front door, Carol.
I'm a big fan of G&D and P. G&D and P today.
All you are is a sweetheart. Thank you. And that is a very important clarification. I'm glad you said that. I have said a few times, like the team said, the media has reported that was when he was projected to start. My assessment on that is, it's because when they say this is minor, we're putting him on the 10-day injury list. He doesn't actually have to go on the injury list, but we're going to do it anyway, blah, blah, blah. 10 days from now, do the math, is Saturday or Sunday. To me, that's an inference from the team that that's about when they're projecting that he's going to
pitch. They're hopeful he'll be able to come back.
Exactly. Kurt Suzuki's going to join us next. Grant and Danny live with the Nats Catcher on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.